This press statement illuminates upon the many allegations and policy directions the Senate report presents, including identification of a policy problem, presentation of facts, and suggestion of policy perspective. As word of this is in order. One, the Senate offers a laundry list of allegations as evidence of its claims, including A, accusing multinational oil consortium of fueling war by bankrolling militia. B, presenting accounts of public money embezzlement. For example, General Maleng Ruben Sands, education, and Honorable Ezekiel Gatkwoth, lodging spending, among others. Accusing local businesses of wrongdoing. D, accusing regional and international businesses of fueling war by trading with South Sudan or South Sudanese properties. And E, accusing the first family of corruption, for example, owning corporations. Two, the Senate pushes two contradictory theses at the same time. First, it suggests that corruption in South Sudan is a product of violence. Evidence includes proposing a network of sanctions in order to shut those benefiting from violence out of the international financial system. So, if violence, then corruption. Second, it is also claims that the illicit financial activity causes atrocities, conflict, and state capture in South Sudan. And so, if corruption, then violence. Any keen reader cannot miss this confusion or the failure to clearly identify a particular policy that is amenable to a practical response. That is, the Senate does not present a fundamental scientific premise upon which their story is anchored. Its current diagnosis does not lead to a credible policy solution. Instead, its underlining lack of a logically grounded thesis underpins why the Senate promotes highly sensational policy materials, pushing a political, not policy, agenda. As a solution to what it has supposedly found, the Senate asserts that stabilizing South Sudan politically demands as a primed remedy exposing the kleptocratic network as well as subjecting the kleptocratic networks to an internationally administered financial cohesion. This policy propositions ignores the prevailing widely documented political drivers that have culminated in the vicious war in the country. Three, the evidence that the Senate offers to support the above claims is extraordinarily weak. We highlighted here, for example, a few of those methodological weaknesses. Review of business. There is evidence that the accused businesses do exist in the South Sudan Business Register. Sorry. They all have legal standing according to the document reviewed, meaning none of the businesses is engaged in an enterprise that the nation laws do not sanction. be. Nevertheless, many of these businesses have seen collapse. Hence, are not involved in the activities the century alleged as damaging to the country. For example, Jimtel Limited, Sekuku Limited, Meta International Limited, etc., etc. In most cases, President Kiir family members are not the majority shareholders. There are forward links Jimtel to the First Lady, Mary Ayan Mayadit. The evidence shows that she never held even a single share since Jimtel Limited was incorporated in South Sudan in November 2006. And E, Connex Real Estate Limited, is reportedly owned by Mr. Dut, Salva Kiir Mayadit. Available evidence indicates that Mr. Dut Salva relinquished her shares in the said company prior to the Century report. The Century alleged that a large multinational oil consortium is fueling war in South Sudan by funding militia groups. The evidence is drawn from a United Nations report. The source the Century uses takes a reader to the United Nations condemnation of renewed violence in Malakal, released on May 18, 2015. The reference material has absolutely nothing to do with the involvement of the multinational oil companies or militia groups in the war. In this news report, the United Nations Security Council, UNSC, actually condemned the Sudan People's Liberation Army in opposition, the SPLA-IO, for attacking Malakal on May 15, 2015, threatening sanction against the main warring parties for failing to observe the then ceasefire obligations. Second, the link was fully embedded, perhaps deliberately, to make the story less traceable. The Century accuses Dar Petroleum of involvement in the conflict using evidence from a small arms survey. It draws from Joshua Craze, the conflict in Upper Nile, between two inverted commas, between the bracket Geneva, okay, small arms survey, March 2016. While the cited source discusses Padang conflict with the Sholo over control of Malakal and the oil field, it does not indicate that Dar Petroleum was involved in bankrolling it in any way, shape or form. The Century contends that the issuance of a license to Fortune Minerals 6 weeks prior in 2016 resulted in violence, mass rapes, and population displacement in Mundiri, West Equatoria, with 4 people killed. Drawing from the armed conflict location event data, ACLED records, the Century partly relies upon. This suggests the company must have obtained the license by the first week of August 2016. A detailed investigation reveals the following. First, the Associated Press news report cited does not single out the government attack in Mundiri. Second, available evidence shows that the relationship between conflict events in Maridi, in Mundiri, and the Fortune's minerals acquisition of operational license in the same location is only coincidental. And according to ACLED on October 17, 2016, SPLA IO forces reportedly attacked Kadibi in Amadi, Mundri West, killing 11 people. Government forces repulsed them afterwards. A number of farms in the area were destroyed in the clashes. The century makes no mention of this deadly attacks either, confirming that the advocacy institution is indeed partial. Further, the century cited an AP, the Associated Press News, on rape in Mundri. It says, quote, rape reaches effect proportions in South Sudan civil war. One of the main experts from the news read, after a month of being raped by her rebel captors in the middle of South Sudan civil war, the young woman became pregnant. First, this story refers to a woman who was kidnapped and raped by the rebel MTN. Second, the story came out in 2017, not 6 weeks after Fortune Mineral received the operational licenses, as the century claims. And finally, the story, looking at the bigger picture of war, accuses both the opposition and the government forces of violence and ensuing atrocities. The century disproportionately blames the government. By and large, the century offers unreliable sources in several cases, forcing some into the story. In the end, various sources either do not cohere with the story, do not exist, or have a link that is not easily traceable. The government response will be available to the public to accord everyone the other side of the story. In conclusion, ladies and gentlemen, the century peddles lies to paint a misleading picture of the South Sudan experience with war and corruption, suggesting policies that are capable of perpetuating instability in the country. Instead of being constructive, the century has chosen to be destructive. Nonetheless, the government of the Republic of South Sudan is on course with the plans to bring about lasting peace in the country, paving ways for institutional building and fostering good governance.